Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I am your host, as always, Stan McCune. I am a realtor here in Greenville, so if you need a realtor, please look in the show notes. You will find all of my contact information in there, and I can help you with any of your local Greenville, Spartanburg, Pickens, whatever real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe to the Selling Greenville podcast. Make sure you don't miss future episodes. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this show is sponsored by Piper Insurance Group. They are my go-to for home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, so they can price quote amongst different carriers, get you the best possible price. They're located in South Carolina, but they do service in North Carolina and Georgia as well. They've helped me with a variety of properties, including flips, rental properties, things of that nature. They can help with ground up new construction, insure those properties, commercial properties as well. So please reach out to Piper Insurance Group. Contact information in the show notes. Reach out to them today. And if you don't, I'm going to be very angry with you, because all you need to do is reach out to them and ask them for a free quote. That's not very hard. That might save you a bunch of money, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, like a Geico commercial that you may save whatever percent, because I don't know where they come up with that number. I think they just make it up. I'm not going to say that to you guys, because I'm straight with you guys, but I do know that Piper Insurance Group does a great job. So please reach out to them, and you will not regret it. All right, so we finally have the GJR market stats. A little late in the game, but you know, there's been a few things going on these days in the world of real estate, so I am not going to be too harsh on them. Uh-oh, I pulled up the wrong ones here. If you're watching on YouTube, this is a good episode to watch on YouTube, because I'll be showing you guys a bunch of charts and whatnot from the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors. They produce this information every month. Some months it comes a little bit later than others. But it's always helpful to go through. I'm not going to spend a ton of time getting into the weeds on this, but I do want to run through this, even though it's a month late. These are the stats for the month of July, and I do think that there's some interesting tidbits. So we're going to start right at the top with new listings. New listings were up 18.2%. This is now 10 straight months of year-on-year increases on new listings, so people have gotten tired of waiting. They have started to list their homes, and we had 2,054 new listings up year-on-year from 1,737. So now, we've had now 5 consecutive months of over 2,000 listings, new listings, and that is by far a record. I mean, we've never had a year with more than, I think, you know, if you're looking at this chart, 2 was the most. Back in 2022, we had 2 months over 2,000 new listings. Now we've had 5 straight months. This is what we're talking about when I talk about more supply coming into the market. That's what's happening, is a lot more new listings coming online. Pending sales, the most recent month, we always need to adjust. I'm going to change how I handle this. The way I've handled this in the past is I've really focused on 2 months prior, where we can see the most accurate information. So if, for instance, the month of June, now we have the revised numbers for the month of June. We know it was a 2.1% year-on-year increase from June 2023. But I've been doing this long enough that I know pretty much exactly what's happening. And until this changes, I'm just going to roll with this. So July, it currently says 927 pending sales. This number is usually off. It's usually low by about 500 pendings. I don't know why it's off by so much. So we can expect July to come in around 1,400 pendings, and that's going to be a huge year-on-year increase from July 2023, which was 1,284. So if I'm correct, we're going to have one of our biggest increases, if not maybe the biggest increase of the year. Yeah, actually, it would end up being the largest increase of the year if that ends up happening. And so it looks like, you know, when we look at this data, basically the pending sales numbers have been running pretty hot for most of this year. So last year we saw, you know, after the mortgage rate increase cycle, which, by the way, we're going to talk about mortgage rates at the end here if I remember to, but the mortgage rate cycle that started in the middle of 2022 when rates started going high, relative to where they had been. That resulted in demand really plummeting. Demand has rebounded, even though demand is still it's still lower than it should be. I mean, if you're looking at the chart, you can see that in comparison to other years. We had seen a gradual increase every year for quite some time, and that trend line has just gotten wonky the past couple of years. But we have seen pendings at least be higher year on year for most months of 2024 in comparison to 2023. What about closed sales? Well, pending sales usually directly correlates to closed sales, and unsurprisingly, we with the stronger pendings that we've had. Pendings, by the way, is just when a home goes under contract in a given month. That's all that is. Closed sales have been strong. Now, we talked about, if I remember correctly, last month we talked about how sometimes homes can fall through, right? Contracts can fall through, and with the end result being that sometimes those pending sales numbers don't directly correlate to a closed sale, one-to-one every time. But when you accrue multiple straight months of strong pending sales numbers, that does eventually equate to closed sales numbers, and that's what we had in July. July ran super hot for closed sales. A lot of people trying to close before the end of the summer. We had 1,563 closings in the month of July, and that was an 18.3% increase year on year. The biggest increase that we've had in a long, long, long time. I mean, I can't remember. I think we'd probably have to go back to 2021 since we've had an 18.3% increase in closed sales. So that's telling me again, consumer behavior is starting to take into account the fact that, you know, rates are a little bit lower than what they were a few months ago, and they're a lot lower than what they were a year or so ago, and a little bit more demand has come into the market in recent months as a result. We've now run out of the past, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, out of the past 6 months, 5 of those have been year-on-year higher on closed sales. All right, let's talk about days on market. Days on market went down a little bit month on month to now 40 days. That's a slight increase year on year from July 23, which was 38 days on market. What does that mean? Basically, you list a house, you can expect it to go under contract on average within 40 days. Again, that's the average. Some homes, I've had a couple listings the past couple of weeks that have gone under contract within the first week. And that's typically what happens with my listings. But I've had some that, you know, the past year also took a lot longer. The point is, or the important detail is, that this number is still pretty low. As long as we are in the low 40s or below, we are at historically low numbers, which you can see in the chart here. So that's good for sellers. For buyers, not so great. But again, we've talked about this data a lot. The market has softened a lot for buyers. Buyers don't have a lot to complain about right now other than the high rates. And the high rates are a big one. But in terms of market dynamics, these days on market until sale, there's some things that have changed kind of fundamentally since COVID, and this is one of them. We would expect this to be back up to pre-COVID levels. This is one of the few things on here that we have that we would expect to see at pre-COVID levels that isn't. And I just think that that's a result of buyers And perhaps sellers as well, right? I'll give an example here. So when I have a listing now, if we get an offer right away, in the past, there might be grounds for saying, well, let's kind of drag this out a little bit. Let's see, you know, we might get other offers. We might get better offers. And sometimes sellers just don't want to accept the first offer that comes their way. But in the way the market is right now, with inventory being higher than it's been in a while, buyer behaviors are kind of weird. Sellers are a lot more amenable to accepting the first offer that they get. And so that drives this number down as well. And then I do think that buyers have fundamentally changed their behavior since COVID as well, where they are like, hey, I can't, if the home that I want comes on the market, I can't waste time. I've got to go ahead and move on it. And so we may be seeing a stretch of historically low days on market numbers coming up here, because I would not expect that number to be sitting where it is right now, but that is exactly where it's sitting. All right, let's look at the median sales price. This is basically, you know, it's not a one-to-one correlation to what we call appreciation, right? So we can't say that the market has appreciated by X percent on the basis of the median sales price, but it is the closest metric that we have to really track that for our market. And so with that in mind, I think it's noteworthy that we just hit, for the month of July 2024, the highest median sales price ever, only by a hair, but it was the highest ever, $325,000, just narrowly squeaking out the October 3,024,900 number that we had in October 2023. But $325,000, new record, highest price ever recorded for the median in the greater Greenville area, and that's a 1.6% increase from the $320,000 that we had in July of 2023. Average sales price did not hit a record, but is flirting near the top of the trend line. It was up at $398,000 and change. Of course, the averages are skewed by luxury homes that, you know, sell for $2 million. We have a few million-dollar homes that sell in a month. That really skews this number. And so the median is really more accurate. You know, what's the average price in Greenville? Usually when people ask that, what they really mean is what's the median. I would tell them $325,000. But if you want the true average, it's $398,000. And that's a 4.1% increase year on year over the $382,000 and change that we had in July 2023. Again, nice, expensive, and luxury homes are a lot more of a thing in the Greenville market than they ever have been. And that's what's driving. That's why, you know, when you compare the year-on-year increases for the median sales price versus the average sales price, the numbers generally are higher for the averages, and the year-on-year increases are higher for the averages than for the median, and that is because of just a lot more people buying those more expensive luxury houses than in the past. Percent of list price received. This is the this is what you get when you divide a property sales price by its most recent list price. So doesn't account for price reductions, but it is what it is. Then you take the average for all properties sold in a given month, not accounting for seller concessions. I'm going to come back to the seller concession thing here in a second, but the percent of list price received was 98.5%. That's actually a decrease. Again, we've now had four straight months of decreases year on year from July 2023. So sellers are taking a little bit less than, you know, in terms of what they're accepting versus what it's listed for than what we experienced back in 2023. But it's still pretty normative, right? 98.5%. That compares pretty favorably to pre-COVID numbers. And so you list a house for $100,000, you can expect it to sell for roughly 98 and change. That is, you know, I'm speaking generally because, again, this doesn't account for price drops or things of that nature, nor does it account for seller concessions, but that's something to consider. Now, seller concessions. Let's talk about that for a second, because as I've talked about in multiple episodes this month, we had a big, or if you're listening to this in September, in multiple episodes in August, we've had some pretty big changes when it comes to realtor compensation. And now a lot of sellers will find themselves paying concessions towards paying for a buyer agent commission. Whereas in the past, that was kind of factored into the listing commission indirectly. And I'm oversimplifying things again, but for the purposes of this episode, I'm just going to run with that. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to see a lot more seller concessions than we have ever seen. And that's going to end up skewing this. I would not be shocked if this percent of list price for Steve's starts to go way up, because I'm already starting to see buyers offering above list price in order to factor in that they need the seller to pay for the buyer agent commission. So let's keep track of this one. Currently sitting at 98.5, I would not be shocked if we end the year in above 99%. Let's just say that. We'll see if I'm right on that. It's not a prediction. That's more just, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'm not making predictions when it comes to this kind of stuff in this very uncertain environment. It just feels like things are changing constantly. Housing affordability index. The second straight month of something positive. Housing became more affordable for people, not because of prices, but because of mortgage rates. So we're now sitting at 93 for housing affordability index. We want that to be 100 or higher, because that's the point at which the average family can afford the average priced home. Technically, I'm saying average. It's really median, but you know how that works. But it's sitting at 93. If rates go down here in the next few months, we could get back up into the high 90s or the low 100s. That would be great for people, for buyers specifically, but also good for sellers, right? It's good for sellers when the market is affordable. It's not good for sellers when buyers can't afford their homes. So we want this number to be, all parties want this number to be a high number as much as possible. Inventory of homes for sale. This is also a number that's typically skewed by 500, but typically about 500 high. All right. So currently it's saying July 2024, our inventory, which is the number of properties for sale in active status at the end of a given month, 4,885, which if that was accurate, would be a 53% increase over the 3,192 of July 2023. That's going to be revised. It's going to be revised down by about 500, and it'll probably sit close to 4,300, 4,400, something like that, which will still be a huge increase. We're still talking about a 40% increase year on year, but not quite as large of an increase. Now, what does that mean historically? Well, historically, if we're coming in the 440 ranges, that's putting us pretty much above pre-pandemic norms. So in terms of our just gross inventory, right, not factoring in demand, only the supply side of things, we do have some pretty tremendous supply right now in comparison to recent history, and particularly the COVID era. But even going back pre-COVID era, these supply numbers are kind of high. Now, when you look at month supply does look low because even with the suppressed demand, demand is still higher than what it was pre-COVID. That's because a lot of people are moving to Greenville. Obviously, a lot of babies are being born in Greenville, all of that. And so families are growing, people need more housing, all of that kind of stuff. So we talk about demand being suppressed. We're not talking about historically. We're talking about right now in this moment that demand is being suppressed. We've seen a very specific trend line for demand, and that trend line has not fallen off a cliff, but it has gone over a cliff and is now trending in a negative direction, whereas it had been trending in a positive direction for years upon years. Well, that being said, if you want to compare it again, if you want to look at closings, I'll go back to that for a second, closed sales, you can see our closed sales right now are way higher than what they were pre-pandemic. So when we're talking about demand going down, what we're talking about is in comparison to the past few years. You could argue that the past few years were artificial. Fine if you want to make that argument, but I just want to add that context. So with that in mind, our month supply of inventory, which is a metric by which we gauge whether we're in a seller or buyer's market, is still much lower than it should be, or much lower than it has been historically. And this number is, which is 3.8 months of supply, is skewed. This is usually high by about half a percentage point or half a point. And that's because it's dividing that pending sales with the inventory of homes. And I just said that both those numbers are inaccurate. So it's currently sitting at 3.8. It's probably going to get revised down to about 3.3. So we're still sitting at low months of inventory. That being said, it's better than last year. Last year, July 2023 was 2.5 months. So even if we get revised down to 3.3 months, that's still going to be much, much better for buyers than what it was a few years ago. And it's still not bad for sellers, right? This is not seller market range at all. I've been saying we'd probably need to see it into the fours to really start to feel like it is a, I don't know, I can't remember if I said seller's market or buyer's market before. But to clarify, we would need to see this number get into the fours before it really started to feel fully like a buyer's market. It's still in that soft seller's market range. It's kind of what I would consider things right now for the purposes of clarifying. That's all we're going to cover for today in terms of these numbers. I am trying to get a little bit faster at going through that so that we're not just getting bogged down in all of the details. But I want to talk about rates for a second. So rates are now, actually, you know what? I will go ahead for those watching. Let me pull up, pull something up here. I'm going to pull up Mortgage News Daily, and I'll just screen share this with you guys. Mortgage News Daily, this is where I go to kind of see, you know, okay, did I just share the right things? Sorry about this. This is not good. Okay, let's try this one more time. You'd think I've never done this before. There we go. All right, Mortgage News Daily. This is what I look at, you know, when I'm talking to you guys about mortgage rates. This is the chart that I'm looking at, that I'm trying to use to determine, okay, what direction are rates going in? And rates are going in a very positive direction currently per Mortgage News Daily. Now, these are averages. This is metadata. I can't tell you what your mortgage rate will be, okay? Let's be very clear on this. If you're a potential buyer, your mortgage rate, that is between you and the Lord, or specifically between you and your lender, who is not the Lord, but you know what I'm saying. Your lender and you have to figure that out, and there are ways that you can even get your rate down by buying your rate, doing different things like that, buying down your rate. But right now, the Mortgage News Daily 30-year fixed rate number is 6.37. That is the lowest it has been in a very, very long time, which if you're looking at this chart, you can see that. I mean, it's the lowest that it's been since, well, we had a little blip back earlier in the month of August. It went down to 6.34, but it shot right back up right away. Other than that, I mean, you have to go back to, you have to go back to basically like April of 2023 since we've had rates this low. So this is really, if we're talking about why have we seen pendings and closings going up, if there's one simple thing to point at, it's this. Rates are better than they have been. That means affordability is better. And this is why I tell you, if you're a buyer, don't get too caught up in the headline number, right? The list price, the purchase price, the contract price. Think about your monthly payment, because your monthly payment is what you actually pay, right? If your monthly payment is going to be $2,000 a month now for a house that was going to be cheaper, but still also $2,000 a month a few months ago. I don't know if any of that made sense. But basically, don't get caught in the fact that what was the house that might have cost you $2,000 a month a few months ago, you might be able to get a better house for $2,000 a month now. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry, that came out really clumsy. But more to this point, this is what's interesting is that, so the Fed has not reduced rates yet, but they said, basically, Jay Powell in Wyoming basically said, we are going to start rate cutting in September. That was a big question. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Rate cuts are coming, but are they coming in September or November? That was the real question. Well, it appears that they are coming in September. By the time you're listening to this, it should be this month that they are actually happening. And so that's great news. The markets have already kind of priced that in. Now the question is whether it's going to be 25 basis points or 50 basis points. If you're thinking about that from a mortgage standpoint, you could think about that as 0.25% or 0.5%. And again, what the Fed does doesn't directly impact mortgage rates. It's all indirect. But what they do will have an impact one way or the other. There's a question right now of whether the Fed is going to cut rates aggressively. That would be a 0.5, a 50 basis point cut, or not as aggressively, which would be 25. I tend to think they're going to be not as aggressive. And that's mostly because historically a 50 basis point cut would only happen when we're in a true economic crisis. And I don't see any indication that the Fed feels that we are in a true economic crisis. But I've been wrong about these guys before. The Fed, they are very unpredictable these days. And so I don't exactly know what's going to happen. But the good news is that we are seeing relief on the mortgage rate side. We're seeing the spread between the 10-year yield and the 30-year fixed rate start to get just a little bit better. But every little bit that it gets better, that helps borrowers. And so I'm happy. If you're a buyer, this is, I don't want to say it's the best time to buy, but this is things are promising, right? Because rates haven't gotten so low that demand has skyrocketed, as we've already talked about, but rates have gotten lower to the point that's meaningful. I mean, some buyers might be able to buy down their rate, possibly into the high fives, depending on what exactly you're doing with your lender. So there's a lot of positives that I see and that I'm excited for. And I think if you're a buyer right now, you should be thinking about, okay, do I need to get off the sidelines right now? Now, are rates going to get better? Yeah, probably. But at some point, as these rates get better, there's going to be a tipping point where demand starts to get crazy again. I think it's going to be somewhere in the fives. I'm not exactly sure if it's high fives or low fives, right? That's a big debate right now in real estate circles. Some people think around 5.75 mortgage rate. That's where we would start to see things get crazy. Some people think it's closer to like 5.25. We'll have to see. Nobody knows. We're all just kind of making educated guesses. But that's just something to keep in mind. While rates are still in the sixes, probably demand is going to be suppressed. And once demand picks up again, then you're going to see prices go up again. So there's a little bit of a interplay going on here between rates and prices that impact housing affordability. But again, my general advice is focus on your monthly costs. Don't focus so much on the headline. Here's what the purchase price of the home is. Otherwise, you're doing yourself a disservice. That's all for today's episode. I appreciate you guys listening. My contact information is in the show notes. If you need a realtor in the Greenville area, Piper Insurance contact information is in the show notes. If you need a home, auto, or umbrella insurance company in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, please rate, like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those things for the show, and we will talk again next time.